very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I'm standing in for my colleague, Tabo Kanluwe. I am your host tonight, Evans Zeninga. And today, we are discussing the 64th edition of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair, or if you want to call it ZITF, which all right, we're gonna get along with the program in a little bit. Let's get a message right before we jump in it. All right. So today we are discussing the 64th edition of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair, or ZITF, which kicked off today in Bulawayo. And our focus is going to be on the ZITF and the youth in business in Zimbabwe. But before we talk into detail about that, let's take a look at other issues and other news in Zimbabwe and elsewhere. Suspected money changers arrested a week ago are expected to appear in court on Wednesday in Harare. And they are facing charges of contravening some sections of the Exchange Control Act and Exchange Control Regulations. They are accused of fueling the black money market, in which the newly introduced Zimbabwe gold, or ZiG, currency is depreciating fast against major currencies. Some of the suspected money changers were found in possession of point-of-sale machines and credit and debit cards. Many money changers are expected to be nated in a national blitz being conducted by the police and Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. But captains of industry say these arrests won't help in stopping the crumbling of the Zimbabwe gold currency. Now, coming back to the U.S., and the U.S. Secretary for State, Antony Blinken, is headed to China this week for talks with senior officials in Shanghai and Beijing to discuss a range of issues, including Russia's war against Ukraine, the Middle East crisis, the South China Sea, and human rights. State Department Bureau Chief Nike Ching has more on this.
From Asia to the Middle East, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Monday unveiled the State Department's annual country report on human rights practices, a day before he travels to China for talks, where he will raise rights issues.
Rohingya in Burma, Uyghurs in Xinjiang, each victims of genocide and crimes against humanity. The United States will continue to raise our deep concerns directly with the governments responsible.
Blinken has also spoken out on China's support for Russia in its war with Ukraine. The United States, together with other nations in the Group of Seven, has urged China to stop transferring dual-use materials and weapons components that Russia is using to advance its military production. The U.S. said it is prepared to take further steps as necessary, but Beijing has dismissed Washington's concerns.
In principle, the normal cooperation between China and Russia in various fields should not be disrupted or restricted.
Former U.S. military officials say more sanctions are needed.
Absolutely, the Russian war effort is supported and undergirded by the support from China, Iran, and North Korea. The United States' ability to hold China accountable for this is through sanctions.
Washington is enlisting European allies for similar measures, according to analysts.
In contrast to the United States, the European Union has not really sanctioned Chinese individuals or companies to the same degree as the United States. And so there may be an attempt, you know, with the G7 meeting to try to get more support from Europeans to take those kinds of actions.
Other pressing issues on Blinken's agenda include counter-narcotics. establishing talks on artificial intelligence, and boosting military-to-military communication amid tensions over the South China Sea. But U.S. officials and analysts do not anticipate major breakthroughs to emerge from the secretary's meetings this week in China. Nike Ching, VOA News, Washington.
And now moving to Malawi in Africa, farmers in rural Malawi are learning to move away from over-dependence on maize, the country's primary staple crop. A local charity organization, Never Ending Food, is teaching farmers about 200 types of food crops they can grow and eat. Lamek Maslina reports from Lilongwe.
Malawians have long relied on Nsima as their main food. They had porridge made from maize flour, is eaten with meat, fish and vegetables. This food is also eaten in other African countries in the region. But in Malawi, the saying goes, if you haven't eaten Nsima, then you haven't eaten, no matter what other crops farmers grow. The local charity Never Ending Food in Malawi's capital, Lilongwe, is working to change that. Manager Hadiwell Kanie says through permaculture, farmers learn about over 200 types of crops they can grow and eat, including cassava, potatoes, millet, sorghum, and yams.
The reason being, not just for them to have a variety of foods on their table, but also to give them better nutrition. And when the farmers plant together different types of foods, it is also good for the soil. The soil remains nutritious.
Up to 40% of the population in Malawi is currently facing food shortages, largely because of El Nino-induced dry spell, which has damaged more than two-fifths of national crop areas, largely maize. The situation forced President Lazarus Chakwera to declare a state of disaster and appeal for international help. But Ethel Katumba, a single mother of six children, says never-ending food crop diversification training has helped transform her home into a house of plenty. While her maize is suffering in the dry spell, her cowpeas and other crops are doing well.
In the past, I faced a lot of problems in situations like this. I used to beg for food from my employers or other people to survive. But now that I've learned to grow various types of crops, I don't face food shortages anymore.
The charity trains farmers and government agriculture extension workers, field officers from agriculture nonprofits, and university students.
I choose to use this permaculture knowledge to improve the ecosystem here in Malawi and to improve the climate so that the future generation can have amazing environment that people can have plenty of food.
Advocates say permaculture can potentially address the food shortages Malawi has long faced. Daniel Jinkunta is a government extension worker who received never-ending food training.
Especially when we look into the rise in prices of fertilizers and then the rise in prices of hybrid maize, farmers are now taking it to their own to start engaging fully in permaculture practices. So I should say the response has been positive.
As farmers like Ethel Katumba learn the importance of food diversification, experts hope the hunger situation in Malawi will soon be history. Lamek Masina, VOA News, Lilongwe.
And now moving back to our topic of the day. Tonight we are taking a look at the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair and the youth. So the ZITF chairperson, Mr. Busisa Moyo, earlier said more than 600 companies are exhibiting at this year's edition of the international event, whose theme is innovation, the catalyst to industrialization and trade. The show kicked off today. According to Moyo, several nations, including the United States of America, Australia, China, and others, are taking part in the showcase with high expectations that businesses will strike huge deals. President William Ruto of Kenya is expected to officially open the ZITF, which will also host a couple of business summits and the popular annual agricultural show. This is all happening at the same time, and Zimbabwe is set to visit the pavilions for 2 days and participate in various events. For youth, a lot is in store for them, as there will be some information, communication, and technology workshops focusing on artificial intelligence and other issues. And on that note, let's take a brief break. Please stay tuned. We will be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
And for those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Back to our topic, we are looking at the ZITF with the young people in business and finance sector. And now to discuss this, we are joined on the phone. I understand we're still hoping to get our financial analyst for the day and Chief Executive Officer of Finex Zimbabwe, Happiness Zengeni. We are still trying to get through to her. She is based in Harare. But we have a businessman, Fraser Mpofu, of the Simon and Ida Energy Investments in Matabeleland, as well as the founder and Chief Executive Officer of FeedPay Scientific, Freedom Mukanga. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gil.
All right, so...
Thank you very much.
I was hoping to... I know you gentlemen are in business as young entrepreneurs in Zimbabwe. I was hoping to get a financial analyst on board. Unfortunately, we are still trying to get hold of her, but nonetheless, the show goes on. So let me start with you, Mr. Mpofu. What is your line of business? Tell us a little bit about this. And were you attending the ZITF 2024?
Good evening, sir, and good evening to your viewers. My name is Freedom Fries and Pofu. I'm into chicken production. I'm into farming. I'm a farmer by profession. I'm also a development practitioner, focusing on skills development, higher education. That's my line of business in a nutshell.
Very, very, very interesting. Did you by any chance pass by or went to the ZITF?
Unfortunately, my flight was leaving at 12 midday. I could not manage to visit the ZITF.
All right. We will still come back and talk more about your business and your engagement as a young entrepreneur in Zimbabwe. Mr. Mukanga, if you can hear me, what is your line of business and where are you based?
Thank you very much. I'm based in Harare, Zimbabwe. I'm the founder and chief executive of FeedPay Scientific. We are into meteorological and hydrological instruments. These are your water and weather instruments. So we deal with the hardware and software of these industries.
Very interesting business model right there. Did you by any chance manage to go to Bulawayo, or do you have plans to go to the trade fair this year?
Unfortunately, this year I'm not at the ZITF. I'm not attending for strategic reasons, which I think are the topic of discussion tonight.
Okay, we will revisit that when we come back to you. Mpofu, you're doing farming in Matabeleland when it's very dry, when there is no water, when it's a drought year this year, when there's new money on the market. How are you managing as a young man, as a business person?
Okay, yeah, we are trying to move away from the old way of doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the days, we would rely on rains for us to be able to start farming. But with the new technology, we now have access to underground water. So the issue of water has been sorted through digging boreholes, as well as using solar to pump in water to our fowl runs. So as dry as Matabeleland is, we are. I always say, for an entrepreneur to be successful, especially in a harsh economy like Zimbabwe, you need to have. You need to be innovative. You need to be you need to know how to adapt, especially in very harsh conditions. As an emerging farmer, we are used to. How can I put it? Okay, let me start by saying, the issue of
Mpofu. We lost Mpofu there. It's okay. We will look for you again. We will come back to you. You were raising very interesting points. And Mr. Mkanga, if you can hear me, let's come to you now. You are in a very modern business model and strategically placed in Harare. Do you fit in the competition with the bigger players as a young person in business?
Oh, yes, thank you. So our business model is quite unique and it's a niche. I think in terms of ideas, we are at par with any industry you can think of, because we work in partnerships with larger manufacturers across the globe, which makes us very competitive. But in terms of maybe our books or our book value, then, yeah, we have challenges just like any youth-led business. Our capital base is not very big, but overall, I think we are doing well.
Awesome. Now, let's take another look at this business expo that people attend, the ZITF, the other. There are a lot of other business conferences running concurrently with the ZITF. Do you think the young people benefit from any of these business and tech expos that go on in Zimbabwe?
I think there's no yes or no to this question, because if you look at the businesses like mine and what I encourage other youths or young people in business to do is to follow what we call the lean methodology in business. The lean methodology principle is mainly based on eliminating waste. By eliminating waste, I'm referring to time and money as well. You know, it takes time for one to travel to Bulawayo to attend the ZITF, and it takes money also to travel to Bulawayo to attend exhibitions like ZITF. I see these exhibitions as quite broad when you're looking at most startups. If you go there as a startup, you might not benefit much as a business because you are not targeting exact direct customer. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the attendees of these events, we are looking at government, parastatal, or civil servants attending. Unless if one is saying these are your clients, then maybe you need to be there. We are also looking at school children. If you look at the number of school children who attend these events, it's quite huge. Mm. So unless if your business is targeted to such an audience, then maybe you can attend. But for my business, it's a niche, and I think for us to attend ZITF, they can say there are over 500,000 attendees there, but maybe our target group there is not up to that number. So we'd rather not attend. Hmm. Most businesses run gross as you see your flyers, you know, being thrown away because people come and collect, but they're not interested in the product. That might be a way which I'm referring to.
Okay, let's hold it right there. We will pick it up from there going forward. You were raising very intriguing points there as a young entrepreneur. Mpofu, so we will manage. All right. Mpofu, I'm very interested in your concept because Ematebeleland Bati, yes, things are not well because of these droughts and distances from the city and the roads and everything that's going on. How are you thriving as a business and remaining profitable in that area?
Yeah, in chicken business, if you want to thrive in chicken business, you need to own the whole value chain. By owning the value chain, I mean you should start from production, processing of your own chicken, and distribution. Because we remember you have big players already who have monopolized the sector, and for small businesses like us, we have access to communities. We interact with our locals, and we know what they want. We understand. Mm-hmm. What they want, what the kind of product they want. Unlike these big guys in farming, like your Ivins and other, they don't have connection with the consumers.
Mpofu, it is Sukubambelap. There is a caller. I'm sure he's following the show. They have something to say. Maybe they have a question for you. So, Manambijana, let's take the caller and hear what they have to say, and then we'll go back to our guests. Caller, are you there? Did we just lose the caller? The phone has just betrayed us. Okay, Mpofu, let's come back to you. We lost the caller. The network is acting really bad today, but we will still survive. So,
okay.
Right. So let's take it from where you left off. What is it that you are doing to own the whole supply chain, like you're saying you should do to keep surviving in the business?
Because you need to have the machinery. So what I'm currently doing is, I'm producing your indigenous chickens. Mm-hmm. So I have my own incubators. I have my own parent stock, which are the layers, the chickens that lay eggs, as well as the roosters, mm-hmm. the male chickens. So we have our own parent stock. We collect our eggs, then we put them into an incubator. We grow our own chickens. We are in the process of purchasing your processing equipment, a mini abattoir, so that we supply our chickens fully dressed and branded.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you want to say you want to own the whole process from A to Z?
Yes, because a lot of money is made on the agro-processing side.
Uh-huh.
So every farmer needs the production side. There's not much to talk about it in terms of the remuneration, but the most of the money is made on the agro-processing side.
Uh-huh.
That's where value addition takes place.
All right.
So this is where we want to focus on.
Let's give the challenge to Mr. Mukanga right there. Mr. Mukanga, what are you doing in your line as an emerging business to also make sure you stay afloat and you fight off all the competition from the side players?
Yeah, so what we are doing as a business is mainly focusing on strategic partnerships in our industry. For example, we have partnered with global leaders and manufacturers who are into meteorology and hydrology. And locally, we are trying as much as possible to work with agencies or government institutes which are responsible for meteorology and hydrology, which is the Met Services Department and ZINWA. We are trying to work along the lines of having a weather station in every 20 kilometer radius across the country. So we want to install weather stations in schools mainly, because we have over 10,000 schools in Zimbabwe, and if we can achieve that, then we can close the weather and climate data gap. And we hope also that financial institutions will come on board to try and finance such projects. So for us, it's mainly to do with strategic partnerships as compared to my colleague who is into poultry, is looking at vertical and horizontal with integration.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can say.
You both gentlemen raise very interesting pointers right there. Let me ask you, as we get closer to the end of the show, for your last words. I'll start with you, Mpofu. Kule bafana lapho eMathebeleland, who look up to you and say, when we grow up, I want to be like Ubudilo. Ubasiela wapi amazwi?
Ngingabatshela ukuthi business, I always say, if you want to swim with the shark, you have to play like a shark.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you go big or you go home. So if you don't have any money, I don't believe in starting small. You'd rather collect money even if it takes you 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient, collect all the money, and then once you are ready, you can then start.
Mpofu, you are dangerous. Uti go big or go home. Iskati siambile madoda, but thank you very much for being on our show tonight. And we will wish to bring you back again for some more discussions on these topical issues. Thank you so much. And this brings us to the end of our show tonight. I am signing off in Washington. This is Evans Zininga.